You can't get into the game unless you have the team.
Let's hear it for you.
The team. 92.1 FM, Lansing Sports Talk Leader.
Welcome back to The Drive with Jack, the team, 92.1 FM. Today's show brought to you by Church Weibel. It is At Issue. I'm again joined by Graham Couch, sports columnist for the Lansing State Journal, and Terry Denbo, longtime university administrator. We want to welcome in Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, renowned clinical psychologist, educational consultant, Renaissance man, the master of assessments. John, I know that you are emotionally invested in this series and this game, but psychologically, can you explain what Michigan fans were feeling to have victory in their hands or on their foot, as Jim Brandstetter likes to say, and then have nothing there except their mouth bouncing off the bleachers?
Well, Jack, I can't think of a better way to put it. I just think that was one of those, from a sports point of view, as devastating as it can be. You know, you have 110,000 people like in a gladiatorial contest ready to eat Spartan. And it in a bizarre, I mean, I must admit, maybe Terry can beat it over the years, but I've never seen anything like that dramatic, the way that whole thing occurred. I mean, it was an amazing event. I think if you're a Michigan, I think Brandstetter said it when he said he was at a loss for words. When have you ever known him to be at a loss for words? So I guess I just still kind of go, wow, I actually feel bad in some ways for them, but I kind of get over that, you know, being pretty happy for Michigan State. But it was a great game, great rivalry game. And for MSU, another one of D'Antonio's really build the program wins.
Psychologically, what does it mean that Jim Harbaugh's coronation was planned, the work on the statue was in progress, and in the final 10 seconds of the game, his team had a meltdown, largely because of decisions he made and the lack of preparation by him and his staff?
Well, I think if the coronation was coming, I was even thinking of, like, when, you know, when Constantine saw the cross, that we're going to all of a sudden see Harbaugh rise out of the water or something. But I think for him, that, you know, he's a big boy. I think he can handle this. But it's pretty devastating because this, he has gotten so much publicity. And when you really look at this, like Graham was saying, we have a lot of injured people. They've had this incredible role. We're kind of stumbling through wins. We're at their place. And then to come out and win the game, and the way it was won, particularly with 11 guys just running in there and them not having enough people to block them, I mean, that was a kind of a real odd thing. I think when you look at it, though, and again, you guys are probably better than I am on, you know, diagnosing plays, but it does look like they weren't prepared for the amount of people coming in, and he might not have gotten that thing off even if he had not botched the, you know, the catch there on the bad snap. So I think for Harbaugh, tough for him, tough for the ESPN, the Big Ten, the Michigan people that really just saw this was another step in the process of the coronation. And unlike, if you remember, Mark Anthony with Caesar, three times he turned down the crown, he would have taken it right away. I think he would have worn it very well, and I would have actually said, you won, and good for you.
You know, it is interesting that more teams don't blitz 11 on a punt. I know the punt rolls where it rolls, but often punt returns aren't that much anyway. And, you know, I mean, that it really puts pressure on a guy who's to get that kick off. And
would have been a quick punt, probably would have just popped it up there and it might have bounced any direction.
Yeah, right. But if you think you did that in the third quarter,
yeah,
it might help you once in a while. And I don't know how much it hurts you. Every once in a while, you get one that rolled dead inside the five that you would have caught at the 20. And so, yeah, there are times where it wouldn't make sense. But to throw that alignment out there here and there might not be a bad idea.
John, go ahead.
Well, I just was going to say, I think that the one thing that was surprising, probably that last time out that Michigan took, which may have been a good timeout, you could say, but I think it did allow D'Antonio and the coaches and the players to come up with that particular, you know, in terms of the rush that they came, putting the fire guys out on the side. They kind of came from all directions, and really on the left side, the Michigan defenders, really, they didn't block anybody. I mean, they just, everybody just kind of ran right through. So just, to me, an amazing event, and in fairness to Harbaugh, he probably never imagined such a thing happening, but it did.
Well, I don't think, you know, Mark D'Antonio said today, I mean, it is one of those things that's caused, you know, he and his coaches talked about how would they handle this and situation and protection, and it's caused them to pause. I'm sure around the country he said it's caused people to pause, because there are things, I think, that don't happen often that football coaches or very detail-oriented people don't really think of. And I bet you MSU practices it this week. I bet you it's practiced a lot of places around the country this week.
I think it's interesting that Michigan State scored 6 more points off a play that Michigan called than the Wolverines' last 3 opponents scored off all the plays that they called.
Well, I can't. That's interesting, Jack. Hadn't thought of that, but that is a good point. I think we'd all agree.
I was going to ask you, what advice or what therapy would you suggest for the fan in the stands that we have heard throughout the show, just squealing and screaming?
Well, you know, I really do believe that D'Antonio said it magnificently in 2007, it's never over. And I think if you like a rivalry, you like a game, it's probably like Alabama had to do after that incredible, you know, the field goal attempt that they ended up losing that game here a few years ago. I think you try to realize there's another game coming. There always is another game coming, and I would try to look at it that way and almost become a little philosophical, even though this is a hard game to lose. And believe it or not, these are times that you get a little philosophy. You know, Shakespeare philosophy is adversity's sweet milk, and I really do think that if you put it in perspective, all the important things, you just try to say this happened, it was really tough, it was really bad, but 364 days, we're going to go in there, and we're going to try and win again. I think that's pretty what you had to do. Believe it or not, I had pretty much had that in my own mind, that I figured that I was going to deal with the Michigan people, you know, and kind of, well, there's always another game, another one, and go from there. And all of a sudden, my goodness, in a flash, everything kind of really changed. So I think you just put things in perspective. You move forward. If you're at the game, I think it's even more amazing, because who would have ever imagined such a play? You know, when you
Hollywood would have rejected it for any script writer had walked in with that one, Terry.
I think that's true.
John, psychologically speaking, obviously that was more than the loss of a football game to a lot of people. What are the components of loss or of grief that are attendant to that game?
Well, I think first you're dealing with the disbelief. You know, did it really happen? You really can't believe. And then maybe you're even trying to be negotiating, well, did that happen? Did it really? Then finally you come to really the realization that it did occur, and then you have to kind of move forward, and you have to, in your own mind, just try to, like I'm saying, like there's another game next year, there are things more important than this, and then you try to say it was a great game. You really you try to look at like the Lewis Burbridge battle in the game. You look at all the things that happen, and you try to realize that a game is a lot more than one play, and that you had a tremendous amount of effort from a whole bunch of people, and then you try to match yourself up to that same effort. But there's no question, there's a real grieving and disbelief. I mean, some of the pictures that ESPN got of there's one fella and one girl in particular, I'm sure you've seen them, where there's just this total disbelief, and you can be sure there was a lot of crying, there was a lot of upset, because a lot of people invested emotionally into this. Because this, and another thing too, this is the beginning of a new era for Michigan against Michigan State. You've got the old villain D'Antonio over here, and then you have floating in on a cloud, you have Harbaugh. So it, the loss, I think, is even more than if it had been in a few years, or it had been with Brady Hoke or something like that. So I
he is a seventh straight Michigan coach, John, 7 in a row.
It's amazing.
To debut with a loss against Michigan State. You have to go back to 1948 to find a Michigan coach who has won his first game against the Spartans. Conversely, Michigan coaches almost always win their first game against Ohio State. It has happened with Bo Schembechler. It's happened with Gary Moeller. It's happened with Lloyd Carr. It even happened with Brady Hoke.
Do you think it does speak to what is most important to people? I mean, you think about for Michigan State, they have not had that. I mean, D'Antonio didn't win his first, but Saban did. I mean, there have been more instances of that. I mean, do you think it speaks to that a Michigan coach maybe not understanding it, the rivalry? What I think it also speaks to is sometimes when a Michigan coach is taken over, not always, but in both the last couple of cases, the program has been down a little bit, and that's why there is a new coach. I mean, often
when Gary Moeller took over, his team was number one.
That's true. Yeah.
And Lloyd Carr certainly, had a team that wound up beating Ohio State. They can beat Ohio State. They can't beat Michigan State that first year.
I do think that Michigan State really take when there's a new coach. There's a lot of fire. I remember when Saban, I think it was at the president, he said, we're going to win that game. I do believe that there's a lot of energy, a lot of fire. I think Michigan State really takes that game very seriously. Not that Michigan does. I remember Rodriguez's comment, wow, I didn't know how big of a game this was. And I think that if you're getting, you want to make sure the players coming in, that the coaches, everybody's aware of what this game is. Because if you don't make it for what it is, you do run the risk of psychologically, really, I think, being a disadvantage. See, D'Antonio doesn't fool around what he believes this game is, and I do think that it's kind of an odd thing. Part of the culture is Michigan says we don't care about this game. Michigan State says we really do care. I think everybody cares about every game, particularly when you have to see your neighbors putting up the green and white flag the next day. So I do feel that with this particular game, there wouldn't be people crying. There wouldn't be people all upset. You wouldn't be having all this wild stuff going on the internet if this were not seen as a really big game. But I do think that over the years, some Spartans, certainly in recent past, have seen this game more than probably Michigan has, even though I've never won one of these games that just isn't wild, right, and electric and everybody hitting each other about as hard as you can and the rules of fairness.
All right, John, the last question for you. Under other coaches, Michigan State, some of them have had more success than others, they would play a game like this, win or lose, and they would go right into the toilet for the next couple of games. That has not happened under Mark D'Antonio. Teams have not had this kind of an epic fall afterward. However, since he has been at Michigan State, roles are reversed, and the University of Michigan has been 43-17 heading into the Michigan State game. 43-17, and favored in 6 of the 9 games after the Michigan State game kicked off, 16-31.
Well, I believe these last few losses, if you remember, that Rodriguez and Hoke came in often with good records coming into the game against Michigan State.
Exactly.
And then they would really go bad after that.
Three straight years undefeated when they played Michigan State.
See, I believe that for Michigan State, we knew this was a big game, and sometimes we were so happy and celebrating about it that we obviously weren't quite up for the next game psychologically. I think Michigan, maybe by hearing people like Desmond Howard saying this is just the midterm as we get ready for the final, and things like that, that I think they may have a harder time losing a game that they're being told is not that big of a game. I don't know, and I do know that when I see people and I hear them and I psychologically, I really do see this, well, we really don't care about this, but clearly they really do, and particularly when you have this kind of game. I think Michigan State fesses up to it, but I have been amazed over the years, in the past anyway, where Michigan State would win that game and then they would go lose the next game, and now we have Michigan in that same kind of a pattern. I do feel one other element here is D'Antonio has a skill that is very unique. Saban didn't have it when he was here. It's getting the team exactly at the right psychological level, mm-hmm, the intensity to play the game. He, to this point, right, has really proved that he can do that. He'll have a test this week coming up with this wild-scoring Indiana game, and then right, the giant test will be in Nebraska.
Yeah, absolutely. Michigan State's going to have to play better special teams and really be aware that Indiana can move the football. John, thanks so much for joining us. As always, appreciate your flexibility.
Always a pleasure, and glad to talk to you too, Terry. Don't talk to you that much.
You so too. No. Pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Dr. John Braccio, our Psychologically Speaking segment, brought to you by Regional Psychological Services and DrJohnB.com. When we're back, Graham Couch, Terry Denbo, and I will try to put this in perspective, and we're going to talk about the ramifications. Tom Izzo talked about it and what it might mean to his basketball program. We'll be right back on The Drive with Jack.